I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and regular contributors Alex Provence, who is food, wine, and cocktail guy, and so is Mark Raymond, and he represents Frederick Wildman and Sons Wine Distributors. They have an amazing portfolio, and he has for us a white Bordeaux that is the essence of crisp, gorgeous summer drinking, and talk about a wine value. Wow. Okay, and you can tell your friends no matter where they live. They can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do. Hey, everybody.
Hey Faith.
At WNPR.org, by the way. Okay, here we go. We often like to start the show with a cocktail. You know, just imagine you folks are coming in the door at our house here at the party. And so we have this time the Sexy Mexican Paloma, and that is from Anthony DeSerio.
I love the name. I can't wait to hear what's in it.
Yeah. So we were talking. Anthony and I were having a chat, and I said, you know, the margarita is just a fantastic drink. In the summer, I love to take watermelon and cut it up. Mm. I've been doing that this summer, and I throw a bag of it in the freezer and then whip that frozen watermelon with some tequila and a fresh squeeze of orange juice and a little bit of fresh squeeze of lime into a blender, sometimes an added ice cube or two, sometimes not necessary, and then pour that in as a kind of frozen martini in the glass. So Anthony says, I love margaritas too. He said, let's do a twist on a margarita. And of course, he's so good. He comes up with, he's a Connecticut bartender, a drink that pairs tequila with ruby red grapefruit juice and a touch of honey. Yum. This is a beautiful summer sipper.
I like that.
And you want to break a sexy sweat when you're shaking that shaker. You shake it at least 50 times, and I would get a little few beads of sweat on your forehead to be the most appealing that you can be. How easy is this? It is on our website, foodschmooze.org, as everything is on the show. But he uses a reposado tequila as ruby red grapefruit juice, a little bit of local honey, and then at the end, a splash of club soda. And he puts his in these tall ice-filled glasses and finishes, you know, leaves a little room on the top, finishes with a splash of club soda. Mm. So that you can make this as strong or as weak as you would like it to be. It's really a two-step drink.
Good summer cocktail, right?
Fantastic.
Hot weather, hot night.
Humid.
Yeah. Just sitting on the porch, sipping away.
And I love it. Yeah, exactly. I love the ice cube ideas of the watermelon. You could use that, make little ice cube things with your chopped up frozen watermelon. Throw that in your sangria or iced tea or anything.
Chris and I are always talking about putting ice cubes in drinks when we want them cold instantly. So I do that horrifyingly to beer.
And red wine too sometimes.
And you do it to red wine, and I do too. I've done it to white wine. Mm-hmm. And so there's that trick of using the fruit in the drink itself or the main ingredient. Freezing a bag, an ice cube tray of whatever that is, and then say your sangria.
Perfect.
You know, make it early before the party, freeze a couple trays of those ice cubes, and you know, if it's not cold enough, you put the sangria ice cubes in the sangria.
Awesome. For red wine, all you just take a bunch of grapes and just throw the whole bunch in the freezer.
I think last time we invented freezing red wine to chill down our red wine, right?
Yeah.
But you can do red grapes too. Right? Just take whole red grapes, put them in the freezer.
Is there alcohol in those grapes?
No.
So
I see your point.
For that cocktail we were just talking about, taking those grapefruit segments and freezing them separately, throwing those in, that would be a nice little...
You mean the grapefruit juice?
No, the actual segments of a grapefruit, red ruby grapefruit.
As a garnish.
As a garnish, frozen.
Oh, my God.
Then you can nibble on it a little bit as it falls, in a very sexy way.
Popsicle. I love this man. He's one of my boy crushes. I have all my boy crushes on this show, as a matter of fact. Okay. So, wow, do we have things. We have that shortbread-style gluten-free pie crust coming your way. From the Bastianiches, I'm talking about Lydia Bastianich. The whole family is so talented, not just Lydia. First, her daughter, Tanya, is the producer of her show and all the web material for the Lydia Empire. And then her son is, Joe Bastianich, is an incredible wine importer. And he lives in Greenwich, Connecticut, so he's very much in our zone. And so Tanya and Joe have done a cookbook on healthy pastas. And their whole point was, we are going to give you bowls of pasta with the most fantastic, true Italian style. And not one bowl of pasta will be more than 500 calories. Because they are tired of people saying, I don't have pasta anymore. They're saying, it's just that, you know, really, they don't come out and say this. But we all know, if we go to Italy, pasta is a course, and it's a small course. Yeah. I love it as an entree. I'm not going to lie to you. And I could eat just gallons or pounds of it. But
so you could just eat multiple bowls, though, right? Because just in 500 calorie increments. Yeah. Be like, I only had three. Sensible three. I stop at four. Yeah.
Fourth one is my dessert.
But that's the problem. I had dinner at a restaurant not too long ago, and I ordered a pasta, and the pasta bowl came. And yeah. I was like, is that for like the entire restaurant?
People like
this. Family style?
Yeah, is this family style? Are you going to serve like from that onto another plate for me? Because it literally was enough for three or four people.
Because pasta's not expensive.
Yeah, so they give me this huge bowl.
But also they are trying to appeal to our major appetites.
Yeah.
And, you know,
abundanza.
Abundanza. So I mean, you give me a bowl of pasta with a beautiful olive oil, a touch of butter,
a little chili pepper and a cheese.
Yes,
squeeze a lemon.
Chili pepper.
Oh,
squeeze a lemon and a little bit of Parmigiano Reggiano or Grana Padano. Or
black truffles shaved over.
Oh, forget it. I mean, really forget it. So I could eat, it's ridiculous how much of that I could eat.
A big bowl of it. Like Chris's.
Family style bowl.
500 calories.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Times 10.
There was a place, it's probably still there, I hope it is, in Rhode Island, outside of Providence, that we used to, when I was working as a newspaper reporter in Providence, we would get in the car on certain weekend nights and drive out slightly into the country for this place. And it's out by the beach, and it's pasta by the pound, and they have them. You walk up to the counter, and there must be 50 boiling pots, and a sign with them all. Honestly, and I would say, I'll have a half a pound of the pesto, the pasta with pesto, and I will the linguine with pesto, and I'll have a half a pound of the red sausage sauce. And in the bowl, it would be split in two, and people were ordering it by the pound.
There's 500 calories in there, I'm sure, somewhere.
And hold on to my credit card. Keep the tab open. Yeah. I'll be back.
It's a great idea.
I love pasta.
You know, slightly overcooked.
Did they serve wine in the barrel, too? Or?
By the half barrel, quarter barrel.
Yeah. Who doesn't love big bowls of pasta?
Oh, when the sauce or the whatever you're putting on it is.
And any
so
time
good.
Of year, right? I don't think it matters. Summer, winter, fall, spring.
You know, they say, oh, careful on the sauce, in the, you know, the pasta in the summer. I'm going to give you a pasta recipe for the summer that's raw tomatoes. All you do is boil the water for the spaghetti, and the rest is chop, chop, chop right out of the garden or your farmer's market.
I love it.
Okay, well, so we'll get to that in a second, and I can't wait to get to Mark's wines here. Okay, we have a vinegar tasting, which is kind of wild, but we have a reason for that. There are people right now making fantastic vinegars that you'll see them at farmers markets. People are now making them at home, and Chris is going to tell you about that. Also, we think just a couple splashes in to make a pan sauce for whatever you're making on the grill or in your house. Your salad dressing, of course, it makes it beautiful. And some people just drink it because they think it's healthy.
And good for your cholesterol, absolutely.
That's what they think.
We have a sauce that's called gastrique that's just basically caramelizing some kind of sugar. And then you deglaze the pan with, you know, a fresh, really bright vinegar. And then we use that as a base in our sauces. It's
so
a classic
to caramelize the sugar, you put a little sugar in a saucepan
heat it. We put a little bit of water to get it going. And then you just get it till
and
a
that
nice
makes a
color.
Caramel,
yeah,
really.
Nice color. And then you deglaze that pan
meaning
with vinegar.
Splash in.
Splash very carefully because it bubbles up quite, you know, violently when you add it in there. But boy, does that make a addition to a sauce. Or even
it's like concentrated.
Yeah, like a concentrate. And it's an amazing
And what do you
way.
Put that on?
You put it on or in things. I mean, it's great if you
have a pork chop.
Yeah, I was going to say a real fatty cut. The best thing I like to do is like the pulled pork. like when you barbecue, yeah. Ribs, because you need that little acidity to cut the heavy fatness of those things.
And you put that on the roll, or
no,
or...
you put that right and mix that. You can mix that right in with the shredded pork.
It's so like if you're a barbecue sauce. Pork,
yeah, like it's well, it's yeah, I guess it's like a barbecue.
That's
sauce.
South Carolina, babe.
Yeah, but that's a very classic French technique called gastrique.
Mm. I like that.
I use it to rinse my hair after I shampoo. Yep.
Good for faces.
Vinegar. Apple cider vinegar. Yeah. I tried it once, and then I went to work, and I felt like everyone was smelling me like I smelled like a salad. Like you could smell it in your hair.
Yeah.
Just it's like you smell like acetic acid.
Google
lettuce was chasing me.
would the balsamic vinegar have been better for that?
No. Google,
if you want your hair a little darker, wash it at the grays.
Extra virgin olive oil.
You're supposed to use that apple
cider.
That's
the conditioner,
vinegar, right?
Okay.
No, just Google apple cider vinegar and look at all the uses besides cooking there is for the unfiltered natural vinegar.
You can wash stuff.
There's washing and you're drinking for health and
floor cleaning.
It's antimicrobial.
Someone
washes chicken in it, so it kills the chicken germs.
Yeah. It's an essential. Vinegar is an essential ingredient in chimichurri.
Sure.
But and with some of these that we've tried, we'll talk about, I could see some of those flavors just kind of giving a little more intensity to the
chimichurri sauce. Chimichurri sauce on roasted meat.
Which one would you use?
Grilled meat.
Well, I was thinking the garlic infused ones were pretty
fantastic. Yeah, those were great.
I'm surrounded by vinegar. Yeah.
All right, so here's what I think we should do. We're coming up to our break, which will be very short. And then on the other side of that, I'm going to tell you about the children of Lydia Bastianich, Joe and Tanya, and they have done this healthy pasta book, How to Make Their Summer Fresh Raw Tomato and Garlic Pasta, which is on our website, foodschmoose.org. Also, that shortbread-style gluten-free pie crust. And so much more. I've got a couple other tomato things that I think you're going to enjoy. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Fuchsmoose Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 and Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our regular contributors Alex Province and Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons, wine distributors Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, and the producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. And thank you for listening. We're going to go right now. We're going to get to the wines in a second, but these very affordable wine, by the way, a white Bordeaux. Think about that. So as I mentioned, Joe Bastianich lives in Greenwich, Connecticut. He is the co-founder of Eataly, one of the most visited extraordinary places in New York City. I don't know it boggles my mind how they even run this place. So many food stations, so many products, such a level of quality in that place. It's just unbelievable how they did this. So Joe's a very well-known wine guy, and he is the son with his sister Tanya Bastianich of Lydia Bastianich, and they have their own food careers, obviously. And they've also just done, Joe and Lydia, a cookbook called healthy pastas. And these are pastas that are 500 calories and under each. In the true Italian style, they're not crazy, crazy complicated. They're very, very good. And so we went straight to the one that is a summer fresh raw tomato and garlic pasta. It is 423 calories per serving. In the Italian style, you have a small course of pasta, among other things, and it's just a piece of the meal. It's not our American style where it's the main deal. I say this is a way to do it more often. This recipe, by the way, is at our website right now, foodschmooze.org, and it'll be up there for some time. So you might be wondering, how do they do this? They use spaghettini, which is
the baby spaghetti.
Yeah,
it's spaghettini.
It's the thinner spaghetti. It's not quite angel hair, but it's not the linguine size either. So it's just in the middle. It's a little bit larger than angel hair, and they say that smaller pasta soaks up the juice of this raw tomato in a really wonderful way. And it's summer, and you kind of want this lighter,
especially
lighter
with
version.
Tomatoes, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so one of the things, all you do with this recipe is boil water, essentially, and then it's just assembling things. So a big pot of water is on for the pasta, and spaghettini you can get in any supermarket now. And don't worry if you don't have the exact kind of pasta. While your water is heating up for your pasta, you get out a bowl and you put olive oil and garlic together and you let it just sit there. And now it's time to prepare the tomatoes. And so you're going to core them out, that seeded part, and dice the tomatoes into these 1-inch pieces. And you will see from the recipe, we tell you how many tomatoes to get because it comes up to about 6-7 cups. And then you put those in that bowl that you had with the olive oil and garlic and some fresh basil, a little salt and pepper, and you toss it up. And you just let it sit there for about 15 minutes or so. And what happens is that the tomatoes release their juices.
Yeah, from the salt.
Yes.
Oh, you can just drink that.
And now we have a raw tomato sauce. Isn't that good? Now we're going to actually, the water's boiling. We're going to actually put the pasta into the water. And when it's, you want this one to be very al dente.
Yep.
Because it's a summer raw sauce, meaning you want it to be a little bit more on the chewy sauce. Even if you like al dente, a little bit more on the chewy sauce than usual. And so you when the pasta is ready, and it'll get ready very quick because this is very skinny pasta.
Right, right.
You take it with the tongs and you take it out of the water and put it directly into the bowl with the tomatoes, and you're keeping that pasta water sitting where it is. Don't dump it in the sink. And so then you toss it well and let it sit for a minute or two again in the individual or the serving bowl, because that liquid you made from the tomato juice is going to get soaked into the pasta.
Yeah.
Like risotto, it's going to get drawn right into that.
And warm the tomatoes, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you add now a couple spoonfuls of more pasta water. Yeah. If the pasta seems a little bit dry, only if, and then you sprinkle it with whatever fresh grated cheese you have around. Yeah. They choose Grana Padano, which
fantastic
is, you know, Parmigiano Reggiano is the king of cheeses, you might say. Okay, Steve Jenkins would say that,
right,
the cheese meister. But Grana Padano, I went to Italy and went to a Grana Padano
declassified
place.
Right? It's made the same way.
It's so delicious, and it's so much cheaper, and it's fabulous. So I bless them for using Grana Padano, and I think it's quite good with the raw tomatoes, and you just scrape that into your pasta. You've grated it already, and you put in about a half a cup of that on top of your pasta. Now, you could, you know, you can have fun. You could say, I want some olives. Throw them in.
Yeah.
Oh,
you could say,
those little
bucatini mozzarella balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, 500 calories out, 490 calories out the window.
A little hot pepper flake.
We can get this up to 1,000.
Whatever you want.
Come on, help me out.
But
some
really,
bacon.
Just like this.
Oh, yeah. No, you could.
Just like
for real.
This. It's
bacon
fantastic.
And tomato. Yeah. That's classic.
Really, it's good just the way it is.
For me, the cheese part, as soon as you're grating up the Parmigiano,
I can't help it as it like crumbles in your hand. I'm eating the chunks of the cheese. So then I grate half of it. I eat half of it. So
can
I'm at
little,
500 going to the table.
You see the ticker going up on the calorie counter here? Tick, 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 tick. 1,490 calories. Or you can have it the way they make it and just have 490 calories.
I was just at IKEA. And I, you know, now that we have these rules about putting up, and they're being good corporate citizens. They're putting up calories on everything you're in the checkout line. And, they, you know, they have their food area just beyond checkout.
Swedish meatballs.
Oh, yeah, that's upstairs. Well, you can buy them frozen, too. But this is downstairs where you take things to go home.
Okay.
And I looked up on the board because they have a kind of quick fast food hot doggy kind of area. And it said one slice of pizza and a soda was 1,050 calories. In other words, half the calories for an entire day. One slice of pizza, and I think, how many calories do I eat when I have three slices of pizza? Yeah.
Don't do the math. Everything's going to be just okay.
But here's the
just
thing.
Walk away from the board. Get your three slices. Get your three slices of pizza and just say, I can't see that, I can't see that.
And I don't need to eat for 3 days.
Yeah.
If you walk really fast to the board and walk really fast away, you may burn a few of those calories.
You don't put in your contact lenses. Yeah. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then the next board said the IKEA warmed cinnamon bun. And I thought, uh-oh.
You can smell that while you're still on the other side of the register.
Guess how many calories?
Only 400.
800.
150.
Only 400 if you eat a little piece of it.
Honestly, I stood there and I said, are you kidding me that the pizza slice and a soda is 10 times the calories of a cinnamon bun with frosting and sugar in the folds of it?
So I found this out when I did that pizza party.
It's a real service to see these calories.
I found out when I did this pizza party. I went to a local pizza shop that is a friend of mine, and I was doing a grilled pizza party. And he made the dough for me, and I was like, that's great, you know, less work. And I really liked his cheese. So I said, hey, you know, can you give me the cheese to go with it? I'll pay for it and everything. And he said, sure, no problem. And he wasn't there when I picked it up. And I said, hey, you know, I'm here to pick up the dough that I ordered and the cheese. And I got these trays of dough already made into balls and stuff. And I was like, this is great. And I looked, and there were two boxes of cheese.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are those two boxes for? And they're like, oh, you wanted cheese to go with the amount of dough we gave you.
Yeah.
And I looked at the cheese, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm only making a few pizzas. And that's when it came, two and two came together, and this light went off in my head. So I thought about it, and yeah, think about how much cheese is on one large pizza.
They grab it by the fistful.
Yeah, it's pounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's pounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's pounds.
We made pizza last night, and I eat it by the handful, too. While you can use a whole bag on a pizza, and if you turn it, I bet there's like
– So I brought back 3/4. So we did this party, and we made all the dough. So we used all the dough, and I brought back 3/4 of the cheese.
Wow.
Because when you make it yourself, you're never going to put that. And you know what? If you use fresh ingredients, you don't have to put that much cheese on it.
I know, you don't have to, but it's so damn good.
I know.
Is there anything like a pizza?
But don't be freaked out by the thousand calories.
No, I'm
since when a calorie is bad? I mean, we need calories to survive.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
but one slice of pizza.
Or
not
two
three.
Or three.
One.
Yeah. Or like I said, you can't see it. You go up and you keep going in your head. I don't see that. I don't see that. I don't see that.
I used to be able to eat pizza, a large pizza myself.
Yeah. Me too.
In college, I could eat a large pizza.
In my college days, I could eat a small pizza.
And I remember, you know, people would be like, oh, you know, roommates would order a pizza and you'd want to take a slice. I'm like, I'm going to eat this whole thing. Really?
Yeah. But your metabolism is a little faster when you're right.
Wait a minute, I've eaten
four Big Macs at a sitting before.
Yeah, and a Big
I can
Mac
eat
is,
a whole pizza wow. at all four.
That's impressive. Yeah.
What's a Big Mac? 700 calories? 800 calories? Oh. Something like that.
It's got to be
on the takeout
more
side.
Than that, maybe.
So, yeah, you're pounding it.
Not anymore.
So at Al Forno, where I eat the whole pizza myself, I really will.
Individual pizzas.
It's an individual pizza, but it is not. It's much larger than a dinner plate.
Yeah, but it's not covered in cheese like at these places.
Right.
It's less cheese.
They don't trust. Yeah, it's a thin crust, and it's grilled, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. But still, it's a lot of dough. But, you know, I'm planning ahead. So I play games. You know, I'll do things like I'll have vegetables at breakfast time with some kind of sauce on it. And then I'll have vegetables at lunch so that for the day when I have my, you know, 3,000 calories of pizza, I'm kind of sort of in the zone.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, it is summer and it's this time of year where we try to, because we're in thinner, bathing suits. We try to stay thin and stuff. Do you think that them putting that up there, does that help? Right?
I think it does.
I think it really gives us that insight, because I didn't know that until someone put it up, or the pizza. I didn't know that until someone gave me the cheese that would go on one large pizza, and you're like, got it under your arm because it's so heavy you have trouble carrying it.
It helps me to be – it's not that I'm going to say no to a slice of pizza if I happen to like that pizza, or even two. It's that – It gives me a quotient where I can say, hey, take it easy over here because you really splurged over here. I just want to have pleasure, but I want to be
I'll give you another one, though.
Reasonably.
Fact checker here.
Yeah.
Yes. 467 calories in a Big Mac. So I don't know what they're putting on that pizza. But
yeah. No, it's the cheese.
Wow. It's the cheese and the dough.
It's the cheese.
And the olive oil.
It's the cheese and the olive oil. But the dough is very small. But I'll give you a little experiment they did.
Wait, one little thing.
I'll give you an experiment we did at school.
While you're doing that, can I try the wine of Mark's wine for this show in advance?
Absolutely. And this goes to Alex's pizza thing and eating a full pizza, right? Mm. So in
I'll try
class,
that white Bordeaux. Yeah.
They gave us a thing where we could eat as much pizza as we possibly could as fast as we could.
Oh, that's nice.
And we all ate about seven slices of pizza. Right?
Seven?
Eat it as fast as you can. Right? Just eat it as fast as you can. Eat as much as you want.
Before your brain gets the signal that you're full.
And then the next day, we came into class and did it again, except he set a timer. And after you eat a piece, you have to wait 10 minutes. Mm. And then you can, after 10 minutes, you can eat another piece. Nobody had three slices.
I thought it took about 20 minutes for the brain to get the
signal
from the stomach.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But we took 10 minutes in between each slice.
For me, the calories is an explanation of why I have like a tire around my waist. It's just now I know. Before I didn't know. Now it's when I'm working out. It's because I watch, you know, when I'm on the, you know, doing my cardio, like I burn a calorie every 5 minutes or whatever. So I go home and I burn 75 calories.
It doesn't seem
fair.
But
I know I've offset the 1,000 calories I had at lunch. And I feel better.
You say, now that makes sense
to me. It makes sense to me.
Don't you remember when we had that lady that did the book?
I feel less concerned.
We had a lady on the air that did a book and told us how many hours or how many minutes you had to do an exercise to burn off a certain meal. And I remember sitting here going, you have to do what? And then you think you just ate, you know, 500 calories. And I'm like, that's an hour and 10 minutes of, like, you know, spinning or something. You're like, wow.
Sweating hard.
Yeah. You're like, wow, it does. And the older you get, that numbers, know. Right?
That doesn't include hot flashes, right?
Yeah.
No.
So after pizza last night, then, you know, Matt worked out, I worked out. And then I'm like, I really want, like, ice cream, though, with, like, hot fudge sauce. Matt's like, no, just put his foot down. But the whole point is, I think you have to you can't have pizza and a hot fudge sundae on the same night at 10 o'clock at night.
No.
Even if you worked out?
But if
you go out dancing for 4 hours afterwards.
Yes.
If you had that.
If you go salsa. If you do salsa.
Right.
All right. So what is it about certain foods? This is a crazy avenue we're on. But what is it about certain foods that almost require the ice cream at the end? I'm not the one who goes crazy over ice cream the way people do. Oh, I have to have it all summer long. Or, there are things I like and I enjoy them during the summer, but it's not a fixation for me the way it is for some people. But there are certain foods I have and I spontaneously say, I need to have ice cream.
Chinese food.
Chinese.
Yeah. And I'll give you one. Taste of China in Clinton is right next to Dairy Queen.
Oh, it's salty. I bet it's salty.
And we
foods.
Go from one right
salty.
To the other. Yeah, I wonder
if
it's salty.
Maybe it is, but pizza is the same way. There's something; it's very filling, but there's something. All that salt in the tomato sauce is probably what it is, and the salt in the cheese.
And the ice cream is smooth and fun to eat.
You're
and
not going to believe
and
this,
sweet.
But
and sweet.
I have I have a wine to tell you about that is just awesome.
Do tell. Do
all
tell.
Right. So that is Mark Raymond, our regular on the show. And he is from Frederick Wildman & Sons. And they are wine distributors, meaning they bring wine in from other countries. It's a curating job. They go to these countries, they taste these wines, and they say, we think this is a beautiful wine. And the Wildman portfolio is very European-centric. And so we like these wines in particular because they're great value for the money. And it goes from the very high-end stuff. You know, they have these super, super Paul Roget champagnes. And they have spirits, and to wines that we are featuring mostly on the show. Every once in a while, we do a fancy one, but as a gift wine. But I said to Mark, "What do you got for, you know, at this point in the season for a great white drinking wine?" Well, you know the richness of Bordeaux, and yet the sportiness of Bordeaux. So
exactly.
Here, yeah. So here is a white Bordeaux, chilled. Oh, go ahead, tell me.
Chateau Saint-Sulpice, a beautiful, beautiful blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon. So you get that crispness of the Sauvignon Blanc. And Semillon can be crisp as well, but it's got a nice little roundness to it. It just kind of softens it up a bit. But it has got great citrus and subtle grapefruit notes that you pick up. So
subtle grapefruit notes, Mark.
Subtle.
There are some Sauvignon Blancs, and they're fun to drink.
Sure.
Because they're almost like having grape juice in a glass. Mm, mm-hmm. And there's a fun to that, you know, as a kind of jovial kind of quality.
For example.
But I like it with a slight balance to it, some balance. And this is what you're talking about with this wine.
Beautiful acidity that just isn't overpowering or overbearing. That's what I love about a lot of European wines, is that they bring balance to the winemaking.
Delicious. Mm. What would you have this with?
Oh, God. I'm thinking like pan-seared scallops. We could have it with oysters. We could
steamed
have
mussels.
Steamed mussels would be fantastic.
Butter, garlic.
Put a little of the wine into the sauce.
Definite lobster roll for me on this.
Oh, yeah. You can always do
okay, all kinds of
does lobster roll
fish.
Really not go with anything?
I would have this wildly with chicken.
Absolutely.
With grilled chicken, because it's a kind of counterpoint. Wines can either be in the family of the thing or a counterpoint to the thing. For some people, that's family.
Okay. And on that note.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. Please support your local food growers and food makers, and you can find the food, wine, and recipes we feature right now or anytime online at foodschmooze.org. O-R-G. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Tweet us at FaithWNPR, and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. I'm with Mark Raymond, Chris Brusberry, Lori Mack, and Alex Provence, and we are having a party with you here on the Food Schmooze. To come back to your Bordeaux, your white Bordeaux, very chilled at this point in the summer, so, so good. Rich yet sporty. Just fabulous. So how about a spritzer? Would you use this? A little, what, club soda?
Absolutely. A little club soda, maybe a little wedge of lime. Italian soda, yep. We could dress it up with some mint. You could have a lot of fun with this.
Frozen blackberries, frozen raspberries, yeah. Just to chill it down.
You could almost turn it into a white sangria if you wanted.
Oh, wow.
A white wine sangria, which could be a lot of fun.
So, Alex, all the fruits that you usually put in your sangria... And then what would
peaches.
The spirit be? Because you normally, you would normally add a spirit as the backbone of
the
your
The wine's
sangria.
So good, I would just add vodka because I wouldn't want to, mask the
right.
flavor of the wine. It tastes great. I would just
so
use something neutral.
So a little
neutral.
Bit of vodka. Mm, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, I love that idea of a white sangria. Fantastic. There is a lot of pie baking going on right now. There has been. We know that. But I came upon this terrific... shortbread style gluten-free pie crust from Sevre magazine, which is a wonderful food magazine, very French inspired, but sold here in America and run in America. They have this recipe in a cookbook called the Sevre New Classic Cookbook. And when you're gluten-free, you want flavor. In other words, a buttery kind of, feel to it, flaky feel. But you also want a texture in your
structure.
Food. Yeah. So here it is. This is a shortbread style, gluten-free pie crust. And it is consists of, and this is on our website, foodschmooze.org, white rice flour, a little bit of cornstarch, that's going to give it some rise, as is the baking powder and baking soda, the confectioner's sugar, cream of tartar, a little bit of salt, and then here it comes. You can either use vegetable shortening or unsalted butter that you cube and chill. Now, if I'm making a berry pie, I'm going to use the unsalted butter. Maybe you use vegetable shortening, but whatever you want. And then there's an egg in here. So we're getting some rise. We're getting flakiness. Really, really, we've got confectioner's sugar, so we've got a little bit of sweetness in this crust, which is all comes together, and that's why we call it a shortbread-style crust for whatever fruit you might choose. Or you could do a chocolate cream pie in a crust
this.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is so good.
I would love that. I like
a Mexican chocolate cream pie.
I'm a cream pie guy.
I'm a cream pie guy.
I like fruit pies, but I'm a
My
cream
favorite.
Pie guy.
What is it? Is
cream
it
pies. Chocolate, I'm with
chocolate
Chris.
Or lemon cream pie.
Or
and
banana.
If you want fruit in it or on it, right? Like banana or
banana
or
slices on top.
Yeah, or raspberries on top. Yeah.
And you're going to pre-bake this crust, so you can kind of do anything with this.
That's a great crust.
I'm thinking peaches and raspberries.
Mm. Peaches now,
okay.
This time of year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a pie crumble person, so I'm going to go with this as my bottom.
And then stuff
I'm
going to
go with you, Mark, as your peach filling, and then I'm going to put my crumble.
That crunchy stuff on top.
Crumble on the top.
And a little bit
of vanilla ice cream.
Butter and oats.
Would we have this after the pasta?
Yeah, we'd have this after the pasta.
Before the ice cream.
Before the ice cream. No, the ice cream goes on top. You missed that part.
A la mode.
And remarkably, it goes with the white Bordeaux.
Yeah. We have completed our mission.
That's it.
Oh, but here we go. Vinegar.
Vinegar.
Alex, let's start with a particular vinegar. Alex brought in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 vinegars.
Tasted all of them.
We did. We had a tasting.
He turned bright red.
So different, so unusual. These are vinegars people have made themselves. It's not hard at all. These are vinegars that are sold by various companies. You can really taste the difference. And how easy it is to make a pan sauce from using a little bit of this vinegar, the crispy bits and fat maybe, or juices from whatever you have just cooked, and a little teaspoon or two of this vinegar, and you've got a pan sauce.
Yeah.
Alex, I'm particularly interested in these garlic ones that you have brought. Where are these from?
So these are from Pennsylvania, and it's from a farm. She grows her garlic there, and then
this is Heidi Secord, right?
Yeah, this is her stuff.
And these are garlic vinegars.
And it's Josie Porter Farm. We have
it,
this on our website right now, a connection to her. This is garlic vinegar.
Ooh, smell the garlic.
Isn't that so intense? Strong, right?
It's funny because when I tasted it.
And it's real.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, some people will do a garlic chemical in their vinegars. Some people will do, you know, I don't know what. But this is a real thing.
She grows the garlic.
She's in Pennsylvania. Yep. Yeah. So there are two here. She has two kinds.
Yeah, so one's with agave and one's with brown sugar. I think you guys, that's the agave one.
Well, there is a difference.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing,
I don't know.
It?
I mean, that's
so surprising.
It's
amazing the difference in the sugar, sure.
We started drinking these by the teaspoonful. Yeah. Just to try them out.
Yeah. These would be really good as a little topping on things, right? Like if you're doing a shrimp dish, right? To just splash at the end.
Oh.
So not to cook with, but
like
just
a mignonette sauce for oysters.
Oh, exactly. So you're not going to cook with this one, I think. You're just going to sort of splash it on the end.
Delicious.
I wonder
do you want
what
a glass?
There are things.
Maybe not a glass, but.
I'm thinking about, let's say I made a scampi.
Yeah.
And normally that's with lemon and butter. And what if I did a little bit of this vinegar on the top to brighten it and to intensify
just to finish.
The real garlic? Yeah, just to finish because it brightens things, vinegar does. So
I know Alex doesn't like garlic in the gazpacho, but if you put that in that special gazpacho recipe he has.
I'll try it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to put these on
French
fries.
I do like a little garlic.
Oh, yes. French fries.
French fries.
Keep with my diet. I'm
going to
fry some eggs and olive oil.
You're
going to make
not even at 1,000 calories.
No, I'm not. And I'm counting, too. My chalkboard says zero.
Yep.
I'm going to poach my potatoes in beautiful olive oil and then, you know, turn up the heat at the end. And then I'm going to put them on a rack, dry them out a little bit, and then drizzle the stuff, the garlic vinegar on it.
Let it soak in.
I grew up with malt vinegar on your French fries.
Oh, so you know.
Fish and chips.
Mm.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Malt vinegar. But this would
this
be
could
great.
Work, though. Yeah.
Really just, great.
Don't forget the sea salt, though. Get that sea salt.
Oh, of course. A sea salt.
Must.
Got to have it.
Yeah.
Oh. I actually put salt on the potatoes before I fry them even.
Ah.
And it sort of pulls out some of the moisture. And it's a trick my grandmother used. And then I obviously salt them when they're super, super
hot.
Wait,
now let's see how that's done. So you've cut them up. They're raw.
Peel them. I cut them into French fry shapes. I put them in a colander. And then I liberally add kosher salt to it. And then water will sort of drip out of the potatoes. And then I fry them in slow olive oil.
You don't rinse them.
Mm-mm. And I start off with really good extra virgin olive oil. Not hot. I mean, it's hot, but not super hot. Add the potatoes in, and the potatoes sort of absorb some of the olive oil, which sounds gross, but it's so delicious. And then as they steam through, I turn up the heat so I get the nice crispy side on, you know, so it crisps up on the outside.
You're not even at 1,000 calories yet, dude. So under.
I'm at 250.
That sounds incredible.
And then a lot of kosher salt at the end, and then it's just that with some beautiful farm fresh fried eggs with the orange yolks. And a nice piece of sensible piece of baguette to soak up the yolk.
More carbs.
I love it.
Oh, that sounds
small plate
so
of pasta
good.
Before, but just a small plate.
Just a small plate.
And some toast.
Is your cardiologist on speed dial?
Yeah.
No,
he's listening.
That
listening.
Sounds good.
As is my trainer.
They're all taking notes going what to talk to Alex about today.
What shall I choose? Spin the wheel.
Yeah.
Is it the olive oil?
It's funny because we spoke about pasta yesterday and he said the secret to it is you don't have a lot of pasta. So then when I plated pasta two nights ago, I put a small little mound, beautifully plated, and then I went back for seconds.
I know. It's just impossible.
Sauce. You work that off, right? You work off the first bowl, walking back to get the second bowl.
That's right.
You know how some things are a raft for sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just impossible not to have a second serving of something when it's a raft for sauce because it's the sauce and the texture that has you going wild. And that's where the willpower comes in.
You know, speaking of that.
I don't have that.
I'm speaking intellectually.
Okay.
My grandpa would take tomatoes, sliced onions, sliced green peppers, olive oil, vinegar. So I would use the garlic vinegar, drizzle it on with sea salt, let that marinate for a half hour in the refrigerator. Then you take the baguette, break off chunks, and then you soak up all the vinegary, salty, tomatoey water. It's icy cold.
With the bread.
Yum.
And then are you having that just like it is, or are you grilling that?
No, you eat it like that.
Okay, so no grilling of the bread, just like that.
No, fresh baguette that's soft, so that's spongy. And then you press it down on the tomato to get all the vinegar, the salt, the tomato. Yeah. It's juicy. It's August.
That's awesome.
And then maybe with a sensible piece of protein.
I was looking at my ultimate food guide is Joel Robuchon. And
the potato king.
Oh yes, the mashed potato king of all time, and I mean really the king of so many things. Yeah. So I think he is my food guide. So he. And I was so lucky when he still had a restaurant in Paris in that sort of big way. And Chris, you too. And I went there, and I've just never in all my life had a food experience like this. You know, he has restaurants now in Vegas, and I think he's got a counter thing in still in Paris or whatever.
But, Four Seasons in New York, right?
Yeah. So I'm interested in where is he cooking, you know? And so a friend of mine, Dory Greenspan, did a cookbook with him. And one of the things in the cookbook, and this is great for right now because it involves tomatoes, they took a baking dish and they took the fresh summer tomatoes and cored them out. And in the inside of those tomatoes, they put a mixture of, and you can do any mixture you want, but it was a little bit of a Niçoise style thing. So it had breadcrumbs and olive oil, beautiful olive oil, and garlic and olives. And, you know, you throw in whatever you want in there. And then they did a buttery breadcrumb mixture across the top of these tomatoes in this glass baking dish. You know, just sitting half tomato halves, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Then on top, this buttery breadcrumby kind of mix. And then into the oven it goes. And, you know, you may think, oh, it's hot. I don't want anything baked in the oven. Trust me, you want this. And out it comes.
Ooh,
and
so with white Bordeaux.
And yes, that would be fantastic.
Oh my God.
With
there
Mark's
you go.
White Bordeaux.
Oh yeah,
Frederick Wildman and son. Oh my God, really fabulous together, right?
Yeah,
do you agree?
That would be fantastic.
That's your salad, your bread, your wine group.
Yeah,
you know, you could have that as an appetizer or a side dish.
How was it served?
So eat just whatever way you want.
Yes,
no instruction on how to serve it.
Yeah.
But so good. So you've got a little bit of the crunchiness from the breadcrumbs on the top with a little bit of butteriness, the olive oil, and then the mixture of whatever you want on the inside of that tomato.
And you could do so much with those breadcrumbs you're putting on top. You know, little herbs de Provence on there.
Oh, my God. Think about the inside.
You could put a little bit of cheese in there.
So
you could chop up shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
And put it in with breadcrumbs and preserved lemon. And Alex.
We only eat half. It sounds like we eat the whole baguette, but at home we only can finish half a baguette.
They're big baguettes. Come on.
That is so sad.
It's the only thing.
I should finish the whole
thing. It's the only thing.
You're an enabler.
You can eat a whole pizza. What's wrong? Okay, no,
well, if we turn it into a sandwich, we cut a baguette in half and then layer butter, French ham, maybe a little Emmental cheese. Mm. Then I can eat half a baguette if you roll it up in tinfoil and send me to the beach with a bottle of rosé.
Wow.
Then I'm comfortable. But save when you have old bread, save it, put it in a Ziploc bag and freeze it. And then when you need breadcrumbs, throw it in the processor. You don't have to buy them. And then throw your herbs of Provence in there.
Yeah.
Doesn't this make you
keep them plain?
When you have a recipe like this where you can play, you might don't feel scared because you think to yourself, what things do I like? Do you like shrimp? Toss it in there. Do you like olives? Toss them in there.
Worst case, shallots, you eat anchovies.
Whatever you like. Do you like puttanesca? Put some anchovies in there.
Whatever
you want. Toss
that
it in there.
Like a little,
if you want to make it all vegetable, go ahead. You know, do whatever you want. Have fun with it.
I'm going to take them and make little puttanesca tomatoes now.
And so
I made this
Joel Robuchon thing, I put grated cheese inside. The mixture.
Oh, wow.
Grated cheese and olives. Yeah. And you could do feta. You could do whatever cheese you like. You could do goat cheese. Oh, it's so good with the summer tomatoes right now. So let me say that Chris Prosperi makes his own homemade vinegar. And he just takes leftover wine. Amazing that he has leftover wine. But he has leftover wine, and he just keeps pouring it in a bucket on the counter, a plastic food-safe bucket. And from the air itself, it develops its own bacteria mother that is necessary to make it into vinegar. And that's what he does. And it is phenomenal. It tastes like a fine sherry, his vinegar, that he makes at home. And thank you all. Mark and Chris and Lori and Alex. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online right now and anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.